Next, I'd like to introduce...
Throw your hands in the air if you's a true player.
This is Sheeman and Shepherd.
That boy is good.
Good and terrible.
You shut your mouth.
I think you two dudes are going to become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh, man, I hate those guys.
Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
There was a two-year stretch once upon a time where I saw every play of every NFL game. I had a radio job where we had 9 TVs in the studio, watch the 1 o'clock games, the 4 o'clock games, go home, watch Sunday night, watch Monday night, watch Thursday night. Every once in a while, there might be a game out there that I would pass on. Like, I don't want to see it. Maybe in years past, I might have taken Jets-Browns off. But not tonight. I can't wait for this game. And the Browns are 3-point favorites at home. Looking forward to this one. We're going to be talking about it throughout the day. I'm Craig Sheeman along with Pete Shepherd on Southwest Florida Sports Leader 99.3 ESPN. Our phone number is 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. It's also the Stony Brook Golf Club text line. You can follow me at Twitter at Craig ESPN. You can follow Pete Shepherd at PSHEP326. So we got a lot to do. We'll talk a little high school football later. Marcus Grant from the NFL Network will be by. We'll talk some fantasy football and Rick Horrell on at 5:30. Pete Shepherd, how are you, sir?
Medic,
what's wrong?
The left ear of my headphones is crapped out.
You don't need a medic. You need an engineer.
I hate that. I can barely.
Do you want me to go get my spare set?
Do you mind? It just happened. I just realized it. I'm sorry.
You know what, Pete Shepherd? Proper preparation prevents poor performance.
What would
Bill Belichick do if Tom Brady rolled out on Sunday against the, who are they playing? The Lions.
Thank you.
Coach, my headset doesn't work in my helmet.
You're fired.
You got to test it out before the red light's on, Pete.
You're fired.
I did test it out. It was fine 5 minutes ago.
Test it out during your sports flash at the top of the hour.
I'm on to the second quarter hour here.
I'm on to the Dolphins. On to Miami.
Yeah, it was so funny. I don't know if you have it in South Street, him talking yesterday about these. Even though he was on the practice field and has number 10 next to Brady, he's still going, it's not official.
As a matter of fact, I do have that soundbite for Sound Street later on this hour. Yes, we will be doing that.
Good Lord.
Well, hey, your headphones have arrived. Here we go.
Thanks.
This is a little behind the scenes. I'll do a little play-by-play. Chris has come in here with his beats.
It's just one ear that went out. I don't understand it.
That's called a short sometimes. It's because you're so violent with your headsets.
No, I'm not.
Throwing them against the wall, all that kind of stuff. When you're angry, when we bring up the Patriots. Yeah, test your levels. Oh. Here we go. This is behind the scenes radio.
Top right.
Top. Yeah, that's mine. Don't mess with
Turn
mine.
Turn that
I'm
down
perfect.
A little bit, please.
There you go.
One, two, loud.
All right. Are you ready?
No, that's not working. Why is that not working?
I don't know. You got nothing?
No, I got it. It's too loud.
Oh, all right. Well, we'll back it down a little bit. All right.
That's not...
Testing.
That's it. Yeah, that's good. Thank you.
It's 239. Not enough film study, Pete. Let's get to the program here.
I had film study. I had a wardrobe malfunction of sorts. What can I tell you?
That was massive. Massive. All right. Well, looking forward to the game tonight. This is going to be, I think it's going to be good. There's the intriguing story. You have Sam Darnold and the Jets. They're trying desperately to change their
Benny
culture.
Not Benny and the Jets.
Not Benny.
Sam Darnold and the Jets.
That's right. They're trying to change their culture there with the Jets, but nothing would be a bigger step backwards in changing your culture than losing to another team that's trying to desperately change their culture and the Browns. But you know the story. Even though it's early in the season, the road team on Thursday Night Football is pitiful. It just is. The short week, all that going on.
That's
plus
true.
But on the other side, the Browns always find ways to lose, even when they have games won.
What happens when, is this like a magnet with the same two? What happens when pitiful meets pitiful? Pitiful Thursday night road team.
Yeah, let's see. Opposites attract,
but a pitiful record. Maybe they're not pitiful this year, but. Yeah. This may be the hardest game in the history of football to handicap.
So, I'm right there with you.
3 points, right?
Three. You got to take the Jets, don't you? Have to. I know. I get it. The Thursday night curse of the visitor.
I said it in my Sports Center. 635 days since the Browns were victorious.
I could take that a step further. I've prepared a little something.
Oh, this is going to be good.
So,
Was it like gas prices last time the Browns won?
We didn't quite go that far, but here are some items.
It was over four last time, right?
Yeah. The Browns home favorites for the first time since 2015. We all know their last win was December 24th, 2016. They beat the Chargers 2017. Time before that was December 13th, 2015. Since their last win, the Cavs have won a title. Remember, that was a big deal. The Cavs never have won a title. And let's see.
They've lost two, right?
Yeah, they lost two.
They've lost two and won one since.
Wow.
The Browns have picked 11 players in the draft since their last win.
How many are still on the team?
I don't know. I didn't think that's a good question. That's a fantastic question. Let's see. Since their last win, Donald Trump was sworn in as the 45th president. Think about this. Barack Obama was president the last time the Browns won a game. David Bowie, Prince, Florence Henderson.
Alive.
Mary Tyler Moore. Chuck Berry, Don Rickles, Hugh Hefner, Adam West. Love Batman.
Oh, poor Adam.
And Greg Allman were all alive the last time the Browns won a football game.
Us three, we have never been able to talk about a Browns victory.
We have never been together for Browns victory.
Wow.
We've only been together a year and a half.
This be an historic moment tomorrow.
It could be.
Breaking news.
We've never discussed how good the Browns looked on Sunday. We've never had that conversation.
Nope.
Oh, and we still won't on Sunday because this is a Thursday night game. You can go back another 1,000 days since their last Sunday win. That's a whole other story. Kobe Bryant has since retired. Justin Verlander was a Tiger the last time the Browns won a game. He, of course, has since joined the Astros and they won a World Series. North America has experienced a rare total solar eclipse, almost as rare as a Browns win.
Oh, that was last year here.
Yeah. Yeah,
remember that?
Yeah, we were on the air when it happened.
It
was underwhelming.
It was very underwhelming, depending
on where you were in the country. Dale Earnhardt Jr. was still a race car driver. And Los Angeles has gained two NFL teams since the Browns last won a game. There you go.
Both of them are better.
Yes, they are.
Which the Chargers was the last. They were the last team
that the
Browns beat. They're not even in the same city.
That's right. They were so shamed they had to leave.
They had to.
That was the last straw, really, for the Chargers in San Diego.
Yes. What? Chargers fans were like, wait, you want us to pay for a new stadium? You can't even beat the Browns? Go to L.A. Go play at a soccer stadium.
But it is possible that Lane Kiffin could have a hand in this game because rookie kicker Greg Joseph out of Florida Atlantic, he's an Owl, he will be kicking for the Browns tonight. How ironic would that be? If under the tutelage of Lane Kiffin, somehow Greg Joseph takes the Browns out of the bowels of the NFL into victory for the first time in forever.
You know, that would be amazing. Do you know that Lane Kiffin got busted for fake news? He did fake bulletin board material for this game coming up Friday night.
Get UCF.
He associated a fake quote to one of the kids on the other team and put it on the bulletin board.
I love it. He fabricated the rumor, confirmed it, and then posted it.
He conflated a quote. The poor kid, was complimenting one of his players. But the guy writing the piece added his 2 cents worth, and Lane Kiffin tied it all together and put it on bulletin board.
That might be the best game of the weekend, be honest with you. That's going to be a really entertaining game tomorrow night.
A lot of talent on the field.
Yeah, yeah. Friday night special,
gonna
right?
It's going to be rocking UCF tomorrow night.
That's going to be good.
Hysterical.
That is. Did you know that on StubHub, I don't think it's true anymore. But
yeah, it's not true anymore.
You could have gotten a ticket to tonight's game in Cleveland for zero, for free.
Free.
Really?
I've never seen that before. Was somebody just posting it here? Anybody wants them? It's free?
I think the Bills did that last year or a year before.
You don't have a $1 mound
or
anything?
No, what the Bills did a few years ago is if you offered to go into Ralph Wilson and shovel snow, you got a free ticket.
Right. That's right.
But you at least had to work for that ticket. I kind of get a kick out of like when we're doing a show in August and there's day baseball and I'm kind of going through the scores. They have on ESPN.com, they have, 10,000 tickets available starting at, and even for dog days of summer, bad team versus bad team in Major League Baseball, the lowest I've seen is $2.
Yeah.
I've never seen zero.
That would be tough.
They're losing money on the physical ticket at that point.
Yeah, the printing or whatever. So there's who is the Bills receiver that just signed with the Eagles this week?
Jordan Matthews.
Jordan Matthews. Did you hear his career there.
Yes.
Speaking of Buffalo, did you hear what he...
Yes.
Is his wife or his girlfriend?
I don't know.
Got her pregnant. He said there's nothing else to do in Buffalo. So I did that.
Have relations.
And now a kid is on the way. That doesn't say father of the year. I don't know what is.
Didn't really want a kid. There was just nothing else to do.
There was nothing else to do.
It was December. It was cold.
Yeah, long days. Long days. Brent Grimes looks like he's going to be good to go for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this weekend. That's good news.
Vita Vea is going to be first time in 7 weeks he practiced today. Boy, things are just going the Bucs' way. Everything. Absolutely everything.
I cannot believe they could possibly be 3-0 after we had just, as Bucs fans, you prayed they didn't go 0-3 during this skid. Ha! Ryan Fitzpatrick.
I was confident they'd go 1-2 minimum.
I think that was the bare minimum that you could hope for and when the schedule came out.
And I mocked you for thinking that, Pete.
Yes, you did.
I absolutely mocked. And then you threw out a 2-1, and I said, okay, now you're off your rocker.
Yeah, yeah.
Now
you forgot. Mr. 11 wins. Yeah, exactly. I was right there with you, piling on. So that's good.
Yep.
I don't know how this is going to affect Colin Kaepernick's lawsuit against the league, but his attorney, Garagos, is insinuating that there are two teams strongly interested in his services. You saw this as well.
We kind of got one of the teams.
Well, it started off by they were asking him, is he interested in going to the Dolphins, actually? And he said, no, it's not the Dolphins. And he hinted strongly at two other teams.
Well, did you listen to it? He hinted at the Raiders.
Right, right.
The Patriots were brought up, right. But the attorney, Garagos, never hinted that it was the Patriots.
He hinted that some tie into some rapper that has been hanging out with Robert Kraft.
Meek Mill.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, I forgot about all
How
that.
Do you forget about
Think
it?
Think about late in the season, right? Pats are up a couple touchdowns against some... Yeah. Nobody team.
Yeah, where are we going?
Josh Gordon's cut by that point.
Kaepernick comes in, throws a touchdown pass to Josh Gordon, world cracks in half.
The world would stop on its axis right there.
Then Tom Brady gets out at the bat phone, calls up to Robert Kraft, says, trade him now.
Trade both of them. Get him out of here.
No more backups for me.
I was surprised about the quote or the story that went on to say that John Gruden is upset with his quarterback situation. Now, Derek Carr probably played the best game of his life in game two, even though he missed some open, long, deep receivers in game one. Their backup is A.J. McCarron, so I could see that. I mean, but they just didn't they trade assets for him to get him? I can't see them cutting him or getting rid of A.J. McCarron.
Yesterday said that finding great pass rushers is very hard to find. It's hard. It's difficult.
Oh, my gosh.
What?
It's just unbelievable. The Raiders sent a fifth-round draft pick to Buffalo for A.J. McCarron.
Yeah.
The Patriots sent a fifth-round draft pick to Cleveland for Josh Gordon. And I believe they got a seventh in return as well. They got Josh Gordon for basically swapping fifth with seventh-round draft pick.
Which, when it's the
Browns, it's basically a six-round draft pick.
Right,
this
true.
This is killer.
That's a deal. Wow. You know, the Browns are in some funky deals. They do this deal with the Patriots. They basically give them away for free because they're throwing in another pick back like that. Then they basically... Take me back. Brock Osweiler, when they traded for him, didn't they actually pay... The Texans to bring him in?
Yeah, they paid this. How much was it?
Or did the Texans pay the Browns to take him off his hands? Their hands. I can't remember.
I thought Cleveland paid the Texans.
Yeah. And picked up a lot of. Yeah, I think that's how it went. So anyway, my point is they're in a lot of weird deals. Very crazy. And this is the same team that botched a trade at the trade deadline, too, once upon a time, because they didn't get the facts in on
it. Yeah, it was last year.
So they're, I know. Speaking of things that have happened since the last week.
And Hugh Jackson, in case you missed a quote the other day, did not know that his kicker had a groin injury, the one that they cut, Gonzalez. He did not know that he had a groin injury. How in the hell, in this day and age, as a head coach in the National Football League, and you don't know your kicker has a groin injury?
All right, so here was the trade. Cleveland received Brock Osweiler.
Okay.
And
a draft pick.
Two
draft picks.
A fifth and a second.
So it was the Texans that
a sixth and a second.
So the Texans basically said, here, we're going to give you a gift to take him off our hands.
I don't think anything went back to Houston.
Okay. All right. Thank you for clarifying that. Wanted to make sure.
Yeah, the Patriots only get the 7th round pick if Gordon doesn't play 10 games. So that's part of part of the deal.
Okay.
Wait, if he doesn't?
Doesn't. That's part. Yeah. Because he has to.
Does the 5th turn into a 7th if it? Is that what the deal is?
That's what the deal is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, it's crazy. We're going to hear this later on during Sound Street, but I played it this morning. I filled in on First and Last this morning on ESPN, and I played it.
Got some props from my goal.
Yeah, what happened? My phone blew up with you guys. Did I say something controversial that got –
Hot Take Sheeman over here in at 4 a.m. starts talking about Jimmy Butler. I turn on Golic and Wingo this morning at about 7, and there you are talking about Jimmy Butler in their rejoiner.
Really?
And then I think that they kind of used you as the setup guy and brought in Woj to kind of put the nail in the coffin.
Really?
Yeah.
Was Woj agreeing with me or saying on the same side?
You were kind of the setup and he was kind of giving you the facts.
Okay. Well, that sounds about right.
So across TV and radio, across the country, Craig Sheeman.
I'm part of pop culture now.
I made it.
Oh, well, that's great.
That's scary.
I'll be on tomorrow morning as well. I'm on short sleep. So anyway.
No kidding.
Back to.
Now, will you stay up for the end of the game tonight?
Yeah.
No, you won't.
No, yeah, I will. That's how I roll. When I do a Friday morning, I got to watch the game because that's going to be 50% of what I'm going to talk about tomorrow morning.
At least. And if the Browns
win. Especially if the Browns win.
You have to talk.
I have to know the details. I can't fake that at 4 in the morning. I have to have seen the game. So, yeah, I'll be on minimal sleep tonight or tomorrow coming into the show. But that's okay. That's part of it. So, yeah, I'll be on from 4 to 6 nationwide on ESPN. So Aaron Rodgers is talking about how he hates this rule for protecting quarterbacks. He says it's gone too far. And, yeah, he was kind of backing up Clay Matthews. But he also, and we'll hear it later, but he was, like, talking about how it doesn't give quarterbacks a chance to be tough anymore, which I thought was hysterical. But he says the rule's gone too far and it's protected. Quarterbacks appreciate not getting hit high and low, but it's ridiculous now. And Joe Flacco says pretty much the same thing. Mm-hmm. He feels bad for guys that are getting fined for hitting them.
Yeah,
I found that amusing.
It's amazing when you have quarterbacks coming out saying, guys, we're protecting us little too much. It is football at the end of the day.
That is really an eye-opener, isn't it? Oh, so that's what's on our plate football-wise. What's Tiger doing? We got the
Tiger is one under par.
What, 2 strokes off the lead?
2 strokes off the lead, yes. Tied for 5th, and he has birdied 2 of his last 3.
Okay.
He birdied number 5, number 6. He has parred the 7th and, oh, I'm sorry, 8th. So he's just parred his last 2, and now he's on the par 3 9th. And he is short-sighted himself on the greenside bunker.
All right. So this is the FedEx Cup. The last 3 tournaments they've been playing, paring down the field down to the final 30. This is the playoffs. This is the championship, whatever you want to say. If the points line up the right way from the last 3 tournaments and this one, you can win up to $10 million. The winner will get the usual 1.7, but there's some bonus money out here. Tiger came in, I think, ranked 20th. So he's got he needs help to get in and win the $10 million.
And it's only a 30-man field.
Right.
So I think
there's no cut.
Right, no cut. Mm-hmm. All 30 guys will play, but you say, oh, Tiger, he's 20th, top 20. Well, that's the bottom third of the field.
Right. I will list you later on in the program all the various scenarios that have to take place in order for Tiger to come away with the $10 million. Just in case you were wondering. So
excellent.
All right. So we'll keep an eye on that. It's always fun when Tiger's playing when we're on the air. That'll be good. When we come back, we'll talk a little NBA. Mark Cuban was on the jump yesterday doing his apology tour for the sexual harassment going on in his office. Some think he should have been penalized more. Some think he just wrote a stroke to check and it's all over with. That's pretty much what happened. And we'll try and re-piece what happened with Jimmy Butler a little bit. Apparently, I said something this morning, and I don't know what I said.
There's a report that Tom Thibodeau said he'd rather quit than trade Jimmy Butler or for younger players.
All right. So we'll mix in a little NBA hoops in here on a Thursday. It is Thursday, right? All right. We'll do all that. Plus, we have your phone calls at 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776.
You're going to give out your home number. It's only my
You know what? I might do that.
I'm just off to a great start today, guys.
Yeah. Yeah,
Pete's headphones, you can't read.
Yeah, yeah. I think we're good, though. Let's take a break. That's what we do. We'll be right back.
Usually.
Sheeman and Shepherd at 99.3 ESPN.
This is Scheman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN online at 99.3ESPN.com. Scheman and Shepherd.
Craig Scheman, Pete Shepherd, Southwest Florida sports leader, 99.3 ESPN. Tonight, Thursday night football, Jets and Browns. The Browns, a 3-point favorite. How about that? Pete Shepherd, which way are you going on that way? I know for entertainment purposes, you're very interested in the game.
I'd love to pick the Browns. How can I pick the Browns?
That's
T's written all over it, right? I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. The Jets plus 9 and the total up to 45. What's it, 38.5?
I think it got up to 40.
Did it really?
Yeah.
Check. Right now it's actually 41. So,
ooh, it keeps climbing.
Maybe you tease it. You do Jets plus 9 and the total at 47 under. I don't know. It's one of the.
Let's let the people decide. Let's put that on a Lumpy's Golf Twitter poll.
Just straight up win or lose. I mean,
yeah, no points. Just straight up.
You can't take Cleveland. You can't.
Jets,
can you?
Maybe Jets, Browns. Who's winning? I don't know.
Because you got the whole thing, like you said, the stinky record of road teams on Thursday nights. The Jets are, you know, okay. You don't know how they're going to react in a short week with a rookie quarterback. But it's anybody else, this would be a no-brainer, right? Anybody else, with exception maybe if they were playing at Buffalo.
Or Detroit.
No. Maybe.
Maybe. All right. Well, we'll put it on the poll.
Who are you taking?
I'm waffling. Look,
I'm waffling too, but I'm leaning towards the Jets because I just don't know how. It's been 635 days.
I'm thinking if I were to pick right now, I don't want to say logic would tell me. I think I would take the Browns, but then my reality comes in, and I'm like, the Browns will probably play well enough to win and then find a way to lose by missing kicks or throwing a late pick six or something. Just crazy.
Rookie kicker, a coach that doesn't know
football
about his team sometimes.
How to win.
How to win.
You know, I don't know.
Win the game.
I don't know. I don't know what to do. This is really a dilemma.
I think the best unit is the Jets' defense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Particularly their secondary. I like their secondary. Yeah.
And I think the Jets can limit the Browns to 21 points.
Yeah. Well, that's been about what they've been scoring the last two games anyway.
I don't know. I kind of think that the Jets go in there and they're able to put up points.
All right.
But then it's a rookie on a short week on the road.
That's what I mean.
And I don't really know again.
This game doesn't make sense. The NFL schedulers actually did themselves right here. And it'll be we're color rush. Are the Jets wearing all green and the Browns wearing all orange? I don't know.
Who
knows how it'll look.
All right, so I'm going to the poll is up there at 99.3 ESPN. It's really simple. Who you got tonight, Jets or Browns? I got to vote for the Jets. I can't do it.
All right.
I mean, 635 days.
At some point.
I know.
Pete Shepherd, it will change.
I know.
At some point, they will win.
My heart wants to pick the Cleveland Browns tonight. They should have the advantage here. But it's basically Vegas saying it's a pick game.
Yeah. I'm leaning Browns right now, but I could change eight times today before I leave the airwaves.
I think the Jets have the best unit. I know the Jets have the better coach.
Better coach.
But will Sam Darnold screw up on a short week as a rookie quarterback and put their defense in an anonymous shaky situation? I don't know.
Let's go to the phones. God, let the people of Southwest Florida decide. Love this game.
I love this game.
239-337 ESPN. Josh in Punta Gorda, you're on with Scheman and Shepherd. How are you?
Hey, Josh.
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
Good afternoon.
Hey, it's the Browns, man. Browns all day. It's time. It's over. All right, think about what they started on Monday night, correct, against Detroit?
Yes.
So they had a Monday night game on the road.
Yeah.
Travel down to Miami, get smacked around a little bit.
Yeah. No, they were.
That was at home.
That was at home. Yeah. They lost that game at home.
Sorry?
The Jets lost at MetLife. They lost in New Jersey.
Oh, that was a home game?
Yeah.
All right, but regardless, it was still Monday night, though, right?
No, they lost. They lost Monday night on the road. They came home on Sunday and lost, and now they're Thursday night on the road again. And I'm thinking they might lose.
That's correct. My bad. That's okay. Right. I thought for some reason they're Miami. But regardless, you got two short weeks in a row. You got a rookie quarterback and a monster defensive line. I just see Donald getting smashed around, throwing the ball up, some interceptions. The Browns are going to get it, man. Open the refrigerators. Let's do this.
That's right. Josh. The beer is available tonight.
The Bud Lights and the cases and various establishments around Cleveland. Free beer for everybody in those establishments. As soon as they win, they're electronically timed to open as the clock hits zero if the Browns win the game.
Which that was one of the biggest difference for the Jets week one to week two was the offensive line play. They gave Darnold a lot of time. I don't know if that was game plan that way, where it felt like Darnold was getting out of the pocket a little bit more often on Monday night, week one, than against the Dolphins. I don't know if the Dolphins did anything to stop that or if they wanted to see if Darnold could sit in the pocket and pick apart a defense. Yeah. But I think that might be a key as well, which offensive line shows up for the Jets tonight.
All right. Well, we'll continue talking about this throughout the day. Other big story, of course, yesterday. Mark Cuban. This is 7 months after Sports Illustrated said that there was a culture of sexual harassment in the Mavericks front office. 15 women have been troubled by the former CEO and president and other employees as well. There was talk of pornography around the offices. There was a story of a used condom around the office. I mean, it was just disgusting.
Yeah.
He has since hired a female CEO. But he did go on The Jump yesterday, kind of his apology tour, and he said he didn't know about all the problems going on with all the women in his organization.
Women in your office felt unsafe coming to work, that they made official complaints to human resources, that they were threatened, they were not promoted. If you just didn't know any of this, how do you explain that?
I mean, I didn't know, and I don't have an explanation. You know, I can give you lots of reasons, but they don't matter. You know, what matters is it was my responsibility. It didn't happen, and I have to be accountable for it.
That was on ESPN yesterday.
So Rachel Nichols, right?
Yeah. Now, here's the deal. The NBA can only fine an owner up to $2.5 million. So I'm going to be careful not to call this a fine. But anyway, Mark Cuban, as part of the quote-unquote resolution to all this, is donating, I guess you could say, $10 million to women's organizations. It's a tax write-off.
Yeah, basically. The NBA said, quote, in recognition of the institutional and other failures set forth in the report that will be earmarked for organizations that promote women's leadership and development in sports, as well as those that combat domestic violence. The team said the maximum, as you said, the NBA can levy is a $2.5 million fine.
Now, there's a lot of people that don't think that the league went far enough with Cuban. By the way, he said that the issues were staring him right in the face, but he didn't make it a point to be part of the business side as much as the basketball operations side.
In hindsight, it was staring me right in the face, and I missed it. You know, I think, you know, I wasn't as focused on the business as I should have been. You know, when I talk about being actively involved, I could tell you every salary of every NBA player over the last 15 years. And, you know, I would talk to Rick, you know, and our coaches over the years and be there at practices and be there on the basketball side day in and day out and live it. I just, it was, if I was in our business office five times in 15 years, that was a lot. You know, I mean, it's embarrassing to say. I mean, there were people who I just hadn't met and hadn't talked to.
All right.
See, and 941 texted in and said, at least he admitted it and didn't lie like Urban. Well, okay, he admitted it, but he still did nothing, and he knew about it. I'm not letting him off the hook at all.
There was one employee in particular who was knocking around his girlfriend and then dated somebody else in the office, and it happened again, and Urban, here we go. Mark Cuban kept him on. And knew about it. So some of the stuff he did know about.
He enabled. It's very similar to what happened.
I think
the
Urban
State
comparisons are very valid.
Yep, absolutely. Yep.
I do think his apology was better. I don't know. I buy
why?
It a
because
little,
he actually
bit.
Apologized.
Yeah. Well, that's one. There's one more soundbite I play that we'll dive more into this a little bit more. He did get a little emotional when discussing the pain his employees endured.
What stood out to you as the most difficult and sort of what people had to go through?
Just the pain that they went through. My company. It was the same way I felt when I stood in front of Mavs employees for the first time after this came out. You know, and I apologized to them. It just never in my wildest dreams did I think that this was happening right underneath me. And I'd never, the pain that people went through, the pain that people shared with me as this happened, the tears that I saw, it hurt. And the way I felt is nothing compared to the way they felt. I mean, I guess just my nature, I mean, recognize I made a mistake, learn from it, and then try to fix it.
No, that's not good enough. That is not good enough in this situation. And stop, please, with the tears. And stop with, my God, I can't believe this happened right under my nose. This is the same stuff that's been going on for a long time in sports, and a lot of, not just sports, but probably in a lot of workplaces with guys who have millions. Don't tell me Mark Cuban didn't know what was going on. He just told you he knows every single salary from every NBA player. You're telling me that none of this ever got back to him? Well, again, what does it take? A death? Someone would have to lose her life or be knocked unconscious? What does it take? I'm not buying it at all. Tears away, buddy. Tears away. I'm not buying it. It's going to take a lot more than that. Don't give me this. I can't believe this happened. I should have known better. That I'm so sick of hearing that.
He shouldn't have his team anymore.
Let's discuss that.
Because you read that initial article, which came out, what, about 6 months ago?
Six, 7 months ago.
So, yep. Somewhere around there.
Yep.
What was going on in that workplace would not fly in any workplace at any point in American history. There were pornos being passed around on company emails mm-hmm. between employees. That is...
That's a fireable offense.
It should be, and it goes to the very top. Ignorance is not an acceptable excuse.
All right, so should he be fined? Should he be suspended? Should he have the team taken away from him? Donald Sterling was forced to sell the Clippers because he made a racist comment in private, by the way. Somebody taped him.
I think it was his comments,
ex-wife or wife that mm-hmm. Taped the comments. And there was pressure from people. In fact, I think LeBron and company said, hey, we're not playing in the playoffs unless you force Donald Sterling to get rid of his team. So the NBA heard off-the-record racist comments, and not just because they're off-the-record or private doesn't make them okay. I'm just painting the context here. The NBA said, you got to get rid of your team because you made racist comments. Meanwhile, the Mavericks had sexual misconduct going on for almost 20 years. And he writes a $10 million check. A billionaire writes a $10 million check, and it's gone? He washes his hands with it?
That's just it. It's not good enough. And, you know, the Sports Illustrated report, when it came out, that guy, Earl Sneed, who was the website reporter, I believe, that's the guy you talked about, accused twice of
domestic
assault.
He's worth $3.9 billion. Yep. Like, good for you for writing the $10 million. That will definitely help some of these organizations. But, again, this is the equivalent of me and you throwing down $5 for somebody.
But this guy, Earl Sneed, and Cuban said he was solely responsible for the decision to keep him on the board after learning of the second incident, which was reported to Pittman in 2014. And again, at the time of the SI report, Cuban said he was not aware of the gruesome details of the first incident in 2011. That is just a crock of BS. Nobody believes that. Nobody is going to believe that.
Now,
you weren't aware of it. What do you mean you weren't aware of it?
I do have a problem in America with forcing somebody to sell their company, but these are private clubs, these leagues, the NBA, the NFL. Jerry Richardson forced to sell his team. Marge Schott was forced to sell the Reds after racist comments. You got Frank McCourt forced to sell the Dodgers because of financial incompetence and an ugly divorce that was public, and he was leveraging the money from the team to buy other things. Mm-hmm. All these things are going on. So these clubs can force you to sell. It's not like a democracy, if you will. So having said that, I don't know if I'd want Mark Cuban to have to be forced to sell the team, but I do think a suspension is in order here. And I think Adam Silver missed the mark on this.
I'll buy that. Well, and Adam Silver, you're telling me the commissioner didn't know anything about this either, called it disturbing and heartbreaking. You're telling me that no one in secret or nobody in that organization, especially the woman in the HR department who was just appalled for many years because She would report stuff or nothing. You're telling me she wouldn't contact the NBA office and say something? And he didn't do anything? I'd like to see some text messages from his phone.
Yeah. Well, yeah, right. Fear's a big motivator, both pro and con. Maybe people didn't want to do it. I don't know. Sean in Lehigh. Let's go to the phones. He wants to talk about Mark Cuban. Sean, go ahead.
Hey, Sean.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you today?
I'm doing good. So I think I have a kind of a different perspective on this thing, and I want to see maybe if I can get you guys to come over to my side here on this.
All right.
You know, I heard the same narrative with Urban Meyer, and it's kind of like apples and oranges because I do believe there was a lot more malice and intentional lying and things like that going on with the Urban Meyer scenario. But, you know, I heard it from the lynch mob on him. You know, he should be out of here, fire him, he's a loser, all this other stuff, which I guess I concur in the long run. But now I'm hearing the same narrative now with Mark Cuban. And for me, it just seems like it's a different situation. The guy, if you're listening and watching his interview, you know, from a human being, from like, you know, a human being's perspective, like the guy just seems like he made a mistake. And I mean, can't we all just save the nooses and realize, hey, it's possible as a human to make a mistake and not just, you know, paint the guy as this monster that's covered up this sexual harassment scandal and then accuse the NBA of, you know, falsifying evidence and them covering up too. Like, can we try a different narrative?
No, because this is not, you're making it sound like this is like a one-time incident. And like it's like one thing happened and it didn't get this is the problem with this, Sean, is that it's been going on for a few years.
18 years.
18 years, my friend.
Sorry. Listen, is it possible, okay, that what Mark Cuban, let me say this. Now, Mark Cuban's saying if he'd been in the office 5 times in 15 years, then that was a lot. Now, knowing the caliber of the entrepreneur that Mark Cuban is, with all the different pots that he has his hands in, isn't it possible that perhaps he is telling the truth, that he wasn't aware of a lot of the stuff, or at least to the degree that these things were going on? That seems very possible.
It might be possible. I'm not buying it because the guy is meticulous. He knows every single salary from every single player. You can't tell me over the...
Say it again. You're the CEO of a company. Ignorance is not an excuse. I didn't know I was performing insider trading. That's not going to keep you out of prison.
Yeah.
It's just not. You're the CEO of a company. When something gets reported to an HR department, it is your responsibility as the CEO to know about it.
Most billionaires I know of are meticulous micromanagers.
Absolutely. You have to be because somebody's always trying to scam you.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to the phones. 239-337-ESPN. Joe in Fort Myers. You're on with Sheeman and Shepard.
Hey, Joe.
Hi. Good afternoon, guys.
Good afternoon.
I find it hard to believe that anybody could believe anything Mark Cuban says, but especially regarding this, there's no owner more involved in the day-to-day aspects of his team than Mark Cuban is, and he constantly brags about how involved he is, and now all of a sudden he had no idea what was going on for 2 decades in his corporate office?
Yeah. I mean, he said, it was just never in my wildest dreams that I think that this was happening right underneath me. I mean, that right there, that is a lie. I don't believe you.
I do
when
think
you say
he has
like
been a bit of an absentee owner. He spends more time on Shark Tank than he does with his team. They say, real quick, Alex, you want to chime in? You're on with Sheeman and Shepard. Hello.
Hey, Alex.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, I don't know if you guys remember this when Donald Sterling was forced to sell his team, and I don't know if this would apply for Mark Cuban too, but he bought the team for, you know, what was it, like less than $1 million?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he made a $2 billion profit.
Yep.
Yeah, and there were a lot of people that were upset about that. I don't know if that would apply to Cuban's case. Would it be even a punishment if he had to sell a team? Because he'd probably make a couple $1 billion on that.
Yes, he would.
Too.
Yes, he would.
Yeah.
Thanks, Alex. Appreciate that. Same thing with Jerry Richardson. He paid out like a bandit.
But you can't just take the team back legally. Donald Sterling owned the Clippers, so you had to transfer. You had to have a sale.
Yeah.
You can't just take it back. The NBA doesn't, own the franchise.
Right. You can force them to sell it, but you can't keep them. You got to give the owner the money on that deal. All right. Sound Street coming up next. We'll preview more of the Browns and Jets tonight. We'll continue with this conversation. It's an interesting one, to say the least. All that and more coming up. Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN.
Taking a cruise through all the sound.
But they're not going to rook us.
Don't you ever talk about me!
about you.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
I can say anything I want. That's the beauty of this country.
I'm not laughing about it. You think this is funny? I take this serious.
It's time for
Sound Street on Sheeman and Shepherd.
Sound Street brought to you by Optimal Male Performance Center in Naples, helping men stay in the game and live healthy, happy lives. Online at OptimalMale.net. Check them out. Tonight, the game. It almost feels like the Super Bowl. Well, not really, but it is Jets and Browns. Will history be made? Hugh Jackson's Browns determined to get that elusive win.
I think every game's crucial, and it's not just because we're on Thursday Night Football. I just think any time we're competing against another organization, another team, you know, we want to, you know, be at our best. And we haven't done that in a lot of tries, you know, two this year. So, you know, we've come a long ways. We think we're headed in the right direction as an organization, as a football team. But the only thing that can validate that is winning. You know, so I don't care if it's Thursday night, Sunday, Monday, it doesn't matter. You know, I think when we play, our goal is to go out and play well enough for four quarters to secure victory. And that's what we need to do.
You play to win the game.
I feel inspired.
You don't feel inspired enough to come off your Jets pick tonight, do you?
No.
Sam Darnold talking about the interception he threw last week against Chris's Dolphins. It's still bugging him. Let's listen.
Well, I think for me, it was more of just understanding exactly where he is at all times. You know, I thought he went with the inside dude, so I tried to, you know, fit it outside and didn't realize he was there. Obviously, you know, if I saw that he was there, I wouldn't have thrown it. So, I mean, I just gotta be more aware. And, you know, that's, again, I'm not making any excuses, but that's going to come with time.
All right. Also playing this weekend, Carson Wentz back in the lineup for the Eagles going against the Colts. Expects the offense to have a fast start.
At the end of the day, I and really the whole offense, this whole organization always has high expectations. You know, we expect to go out and start fast, play fast, be clicking. And so I truly believe that's a realistic expectation. Now, that's just football. You know, it's not always like that. So those things come and you got to learn how to balance those ebbs and flows of the game and everything. But, you know, I think we all hold ourselves to high expectations around here.
Meanwhile, Bill Belichick. Well, we got Josh Gordon on the team. Well, maybe he's not. I'm going to change his number, try to disguise him so you wouldn't notice him out there. He's not number 12 because, you know, number 12 is Tom Brady, but now he's number 10. But I don't know. I'm not officially saying that.
When you say you're still working through some transactions, we should not ask you about Josh Gordon?
You can ask. I can't. We'll talk about it when it's done. If it's done, when it's done.
So that one's not yet done, even though it was on the lead transaction line yesterday?
That's correct.
What is still pending in the process?
The finish of the trade.
What's the last step that has to be made so it's done?
I guess it has to be finalized, Tom. I guess that would do it.
Tom, E, covering.
I'll sign off on it.
It's one of the key steps we've been waiting for. I'll make sure everybody knows that. And it can expedite it by a few minutes.
There you go.
The Patriots, the Browns, the NFL had all announced the trade. His locker was set up. I think he was on the practice field when he's saying it's not done yet.
He was on the practice.
Unbelievable.
It's like if the last I isn't dotted and the last T isn't crossed for some stupid
but I
little.
I think it was.
Probably some stupid little byline that says, can only have corn on the cob on Tuesdays or something like that. He would wait for it, you know.
You could tell the reporters in the room are going, you're kidding me, right?
Right.
It's been announced.
We've seen him. He's in the building.
No, he's on the field.
All right, coming up, we'll get into some more NFL stuff. Still some great sound. Big Ben, Aaron Rodgers. You got to hear the Aaron Rodgers. It's absolutely classic. Yeah. And John Gruden talking about Chris's Dolphins.
And we have
that guy Ryan Daniel. He's a good football player. You
know? Rick Pitino has entered the social media world. Wait till you hear what he said.
All right.
And wait till you hear when I read some of the responses.
That'll be classic. Coming up next, Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN.